Thank you, choir. We are still looking at how our spirituality can be life-giving. Last week, we looked at life-giving celebration, choosing to fill our mind with excellent things in life makes our heart more joyful as a result. This week, we are looking at life-giving solitude. And we live in an era where we can be connected with other people at all times. I once saw a cartoon that was satirizing this, and in the cartoon, a person was telling a friend that they were going to give up technology, but especially Facebook. They really needed to get rid of Facebook because it was just too much to keep up with, you know, too much connection. They needed a break from Facebook, and then it shows the person 12 hours later writing about how well it's going by posting on Facebook. So in this ever-connected age, how do we find life-giving solitude? Matthew chapter 26. If you are able, please stand for the reading from the gospel. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, I drink it. Your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, I was in eighth grade, and our basketball coach was actually a football coach. See, that is the way in Texas. You hire as many football coaches as you can afford, and then make them the token leaders of every other sport. But at least he had played basketball, which was one better than I could say about our new tennis coach we got in high school. Now, our eighth grade team was not very good. We had one guy who was very athletic, but not very skilled. And a lot of his athleticism came from failing two grades and still playing against the younger kids. But really, what irked me was the play calling. Because we had one play. Not variations on a play. One play. If we ever deviated from the plan, we were taken out of the game. And so after about a quarter of seeing the same thing, like a bad case of deja vu, even the eighth grade opponents knew what we were going to do. And in case you're wondering, having an opponent know exactly what you're going to do and exactly when you're going to do it, not a recipe for success. So my painfully shy, introverted, awkward eighth grade self cautiously approached the coach and gently suggested we might learn a new play in practice today. And I was told to run laps for my insolence. On the plus side, though, at least I didn't have to run that same play over again. We desperately needed a new plan. When I was in high school, my best friend received a treasure trove of computer parts. So we resolved to piece together a few fully functioning computers out of those parts. We didn't have a purpose for them, just wanted to learn how to put a computer together from scratch. So, you know, we scavenged some cases and put together the motherboard and connected the floppy drive, if you remember those, and got the hard drive all connected, got the power cord set up, and we plugged it in, pressed the power button, and now, computers aren't generally supposed to make that noise. And there was nothing on the screen. Curious. So we took it apart, tried again, put in new parts, and maybe something was wrong. You know, put it all together, pushed the power button, and once again, nothing on the screen. Now, we were down to our last set of parts by now, and so we were a little bit worried. So we took, much to his parents' chagrin, the family computer and disassembled it to see what the professionals had done. And don't worry, we got it back together. but without any popping. And we noticed that there were two small little black things that we didn't have, rubber spacers. And those are very important, we found out, because we were actually running electricity through the entire metal case and frying all the electronics every time we pushed the power button. If you ever want to know how I learned so much about computers, it's because I fried, crashed, and or exploded them. And don't tell my mom about the exploding stuff. She still didn't know. But have you ever needed a new plan in life? Like my basketball team needed a new plan, or my friend and I needed a new plan for assembling those computers. You ever been running the same play over and over again with disappointing results? Ever noticed a weird and thought, something's wrong, but I don't know what? Do you need to take a step back and figure out a new way forward? In our first text today, we heard from the greatest Old Testament prophet, Elijah, and he's running away. What actually just happened was one of his greatest victories over the prophets of Baal, but the queen was offended along the way, and now she's trying to kill him. And so he runs away far, far away, as far as you can go and still be in the promised land. That's how far Elijah goes. And his complaint, his main complaint, is that he is all alone. He says, I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. And God has two interesting responses to Elijah. First, he tells Elijah he's not alone because God is with him. He shows Elijah his presence, and it's not in the earthquake or the mighty wind or the fire. God's presence is found in the sound of sheer silence, solitude. And once Elijah finds that sheer silence, that solitude, the ability to finally listen, God also says something interesting to Elijah. We didn't read it, but God tells Elijah that he has allies he didn't know about, that he is not alone. There are others that are still faithful. But it takes solitude for Elijah to realize that his one man against the world approach wasn't working. It takes solitude for Elijah to find a new plan from God, which is to seek out these allies I told you about. Solitude. Listening in the sheer silence. That's what Elijah needed to hear God's plan for him. And Jesus is looking for something similar in the Garden of Gethsemane in our second text today. He left his disciples, but took Peter, James, and John with him before telling them to remain close and awake, but not right with them. And then Jesus' prayer is, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. He's looking for another way, another plan. Elijah got a new plan, and we all know that Jesus did not. But both used solitude to listen to God in sheer silence. Now, there's no guarantee what God is going to say. He might give you a comforting word. He might give you a challenging word. He might give you a new plan, and he might tell you to stay the course. But the best way to hear a fresh word from God is in solitude, listening to God in that sheer silence. It's kind of like Santa Claus. Santa Claus only comes when you're sleeping, right? So in the same way, God does his best work on our souls when we are listening in sheer silence. That's when the magic happens. Now, solitude is a little different than the other spiritual practices we have looked at. If you remember when we talked about fasting, one of the first steps was choosing a question or a point or a purpose for your fasting. But solitude is different. Solitude is less about answering a question and more about hearing something new from God. Solitude is listening when you don't even know the right question to ask. Something's wrong. You need a new plan. There's a strange popping noise, but you don't know what's wrong. God tells the prophet Jeremiah in one of these times, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Do you want God to tell you things that you don't already know? That requires solitude, listening to God in that sheer silence. Vacation Bible School is coming up in just a few weeks. I'm leading the large group time. We've shared how I'm excited to get out all my geeky stuff. My office looks like a laboratory right now with my 3D printer and my mill, and I've got my drone there. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I remember when I first got my 3D printer several years ago, I was ecstatic when the box arrived. Like a kid in a candy store, you know, I giddily unwrapped the package and set it up, whipped out the instructions, got it connected to my computer. I was all ready to start printing, and then I realized I didn't know what to print. I had no idea. I had focused so hard on getting the printer that I hadn't even thought about what I would do with it. I had to go online and search, you know, 10 best starter projects for 3D printing. 9 of them were totally boring, but one of them was interesting. Solitude is like doing that search when you don't have an idea, when you're drawing a blank, when you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go. Seek God in sheer silence. Listen to God in solitude. A few years ago, I spent a year studying the science of creativity, and one researcher made an interesting point. He said that having an objective or a goal actually limits your creativity. Now, if you have a clear path, objectives are great. If you are needing lunch, clear objective, then, you know, having a plan to make a BLT, that's a good choice. But if you're trying to create something new, if you need a new idea, if you need a new plan, a new play, a new direction, then if you have a goal, it actually stands in your way. Solitude is about listening to God without an objective in mind. It's Elijah standing on the mountain asking for God to say something, anything to him. It's like Jesus in the garden asking God if there's another way, but not my will, but thine be done. If you're feeling like you need a new plan, a new play, a new direction, a new question to ask, how can you seek that solitude? Well, solitude, luckily, is more of a state of mind than a place, but certain places do help. T.S. Eliot once wrote, "There, where shall the world be found? Where will the word resound? Not here. There's not enough silence." Where can you find silence? This doesn't necessarily have to be literal silence as measured in the decibel meter on your cell phone. I sometimes have a better connection with God at Panera, where I'm surrounded by a cacophony of noise, but I can make a little cocoon of thought in the midst of that. I think the energy helps me focus, unless there's someone, you know, talking on their phone next to me, and then I wish I had a little portable microwave to mess up their signal. Where can you form your own cocoon of thought? I have 2 young kids. I know how hard it is to find a silent place. But without that solitude, it is so hard to hear a new word from God. Sometimes for me, walking the dog is a way to gain some solitude. Actually, the American Psychological Association had a study where they found that walking leads to more creative thinking and more imagination. Or as a philosopher once said, never trust a thought that didn't come by walking. Sisters and brothers, if you want to hear something new from God, something you don't understand, some new direction, a new question, a new plan, find some solitude to listen to God in sheer silence. Sometimes we have a question that we need answered, and there are other life-giving spiritual practices for that. But if you don't know the question to ask, just listen to God in the silence or in your own cocoon of thought. Don't even try to speak. For the person who speaks loses the ability to hear that whispered word. How can you find some solitude? And what might God say to you? Amen.